Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18, titled, We Will Not Serve Thy Gods. This is part 2 of 2.
So basically what we have in verse 4 and 5, let's just go ahead and read those verses. Then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. So this is basically an ecumenical, charismatic, unity praise service. It really is. If you, how many of you gone, hopefully, I don't want to ask you to raise your hand. If you've gone to these charismatic CCM concerts lately, they don't preach the gospel. They preach unity, unity, unity. And they will tell you, sometimes not even qualifying it, will say, it doesn't matter where you go to church, what your denomination is, we're all one in Christ. I just want to sometime have a bullhorn say, liar! If you're not born again, I don't care what church you go to, what denomination you're in, you're going to hell. If you're not saved, you're not my brother or sister in Christ. Amen. I don't care what church you go to. Amen. People say, well, you're just picking on those Catholics. No, I'm talking about Baptists. Amen. Baptists, if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. Amen. If you're not saved, you're not my brother and sister in Christ. Amen. But they don't preach the gospel, and all they do is constantly harp on unity. Unity. We need to come together. They got this theory that if all the Christians came together in an organizational unity and held hands and sang, I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony, that suddenly there'd be worldwide revival, there'd be peace on earth, and Jesus could come back and congratulate us all for a job well done. That's what these people believe. They believe that if we would just all hold hands and get along, that would be the kingdom, and then there'd be peace on earth and blah, blah, blah. Like it's a lie.
Interview on Channel 10 is the pride thing going on. She said, oh, we're just all about love, loving each other, spreading our love for everybody.
Was that a church?
No.
Because there were churches there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is, churches were there at the Pride Parade. Yeah, you see United Methodist, ELCA Lutheran, Presbyterian Church USA, Catholics, all kinds of, and the one Baptist group. All of them there at the Pride event, declaring their love for all things, including wickedness. Here's a little reality check. God is not moved by noise and emotional demonstrations.
Amen.
You go to churches today, they think somehow God's up there not paying attention, and if they get loud enough and crazy enough, God looks down and says, oh, good, I like this. They turn him into a kook. That's not God.
Amen.
And God is not impressed with noise and emotional demonstrations, and the modern charismatic movement is a counterfeit.
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit's work. These people who claim to have the gift of healing and they never go heal the real sick people in the hospitals. They never show up in the nursing homes. These people who claim to speak in tongues won't ever let you record them so you can test them. And then even when you can record them, they deny anything you find out about it. And there's been times people recorded that stuff and turn around and found out they were speaking blasphemies. And all kinds of... You can test this stuff. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, we're to try the spirits. We're to put the spirits on trial. And people accept that stuff without giving it any test at all. And you know what that does? It reveals their heart. Some of the sweetest people you know have dark, wicked hearts. And that's why they eat that stuff up. Don't go by the... You cannot judge a book by the cover. How many of you know that? You find some sweet little, you know, always nice and all that... You better watch, because if what comes out of her mouth or his mouth when he's talking about the Lord and talking about Jesus and talking about the Spirit and talking about the Word of God, if that doesn't match this book, there's a problem. There's something wrong inside that person. Can't judge a book by the cover. Verse 6. Read that with me. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall at the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So there you have it. That's what they're being confronted with at this Bohemian Grove ancient version gathering. Either bow or die. That's the choice they're being given. So stop for just a second and ask yourself, what would you do in their shoes? And of course, it's easy to sit here, and I'm just as guilty as anybody, to sit here in this nice air-conditioned building, and you know, we got all the coffee we want and tea to drink and water, and you know, we got watermelon, by the way. After we get done, we're going to go downstairs and eat. We got all this. It's just nice, great fellowship, and we're among friends, and so we can stand. This is what happens in churches every week. Preachers get up there and just real brave and bold preach to the choir. It's different when you go outside the church walls and speak the truth to someone you know you're about to anger. And I mean, be as nice as you can be, but tell them the truth. Had somebody look at me one time and say, "You're telling me that I'm sinning by loving who I love." And I said, "Yes, I am. I'm telling you that." And I'm like, "Why is that so hard? It's just the truth. You're telling me that I'm going to go to hell because of who I love?" No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. There are two different questions. Number one, you want to know why you're going to hell? I'll tell you that. Number two, is that what you're calling love, wicked and sinful? Yes. You're going to hell because you won't repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't admit you're a sinner. You want God to accept you as you are without repentance. And everybody who does that will go to hell. I don't care what you say you believe when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection. You can tell me you believe the resurrection. You can tell me you believe the facts of the gospel, but if your heart is not one that looks at Jesus on the cross dying for your sins, and you don't feel like a worm, you don't have a sense of your wickedness, you don't look at God for salvation with a total attitude of undeserving, then you're not being saved. That's the only way to be saved. And if you're not really saved, you're definitely not going to be willing to go into the furnace. Amen? Amen. Verse 7. I'm going to read that. Just listen along. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and the languages, fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. There you go. That's what I think would happen right now if I believe in the pre-trib rapture, but let's say if the Antichrist showed up today, being a lot of professing Christians, I think that a lot of people ought to be very thankful that they're living in this dispensation. They take that mark and split hell wide open. All the people show up, but not all bow, by the way. As we shall see. Verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and what? Accused the Jews. There's something that's interesting about that. It's those Jews again. You know, there's something really interesting? The people who despise the Jews, I'm not saying none of them are saved, but they have a common thread of being anti-dispensational, anti-sound Bible. There are people who believe this thing called covenant theology. One of the most lame-brained, stupid theologies you can imagine. They think that sprinkling and pouring an infant replaces circumcision. You couldn't find that in the Bible to save your life. It's not there. They've come up and concocted this thing where they replace Israel with the church and exchange circumcision with water baptism. And it's not even baptism, because baptism means immerse. Water sprinkling and pouring. And it's so wild on so many accounts. Number one, again, the Bible never mentions it. They just conjure it up. Amen. And if it were circumcision, the ladies can all say, thank you, Lord, for the fact that the ladies weren't circumcised. Amen. So what are you doing baptizing the baby girls? If circumcision replaced, if baptism replaced circumcision, and you could call that baptism, you shouldn't be doing that to the girls. And they, how many of you know, have ever been to one of these things? A christening? How many, raise your hand, I want to know. How many? You been to them? Did you listen to what they said? What they did? They got a little baby up there doing what Gloria is right now.
Yeah, give me something to chew on.
You know, actually not saying those words because she can't even talk yet. Just meanwhile, this goofball in all this decor, pharisaical garb, pours water on the baby. But before he does that, he looks at the baby and says, do you repent of your sins? And they got this person called a godparent. And the godparent says, yes, I do. Speaking on behalf of the baby. And I think they asked, do you renounce the devil and all his works or something like that? It's according to the denomination what they say. And then the godparent says, yes, I do. And then on that basis, I now baptize you. Although I'm not actually going to baptize you. I'm saying the word baptize, which means immerse. But I'm going to splash you. In the name of God, they do that. And then they teach that baby as it grows up that they are saved because they are in a covenant with God. That they agreed to even though they don't even have a conscious memory of the event. It's insanity. Amen. And that's the majority of Christian seminaries in existence today hold that nonsense. Now who are all the goofballs sitting in the pews paying for all that? Professing Christians, you know. And you know who's going to answer for it? They will. Going to answer for it. There's just all kinds of this nonsense of replacing the Jews with the church, but then blaming the Jews for everything that happens. I got this. It's a common thread through history. See, what they're doing here in this text we're reading is basically trying to say, Nebuchadnezzar, you don't have unity in your kingdom because of those dirty Jews. It's those Jews. They're always causing problems. How many of you have read anything about the Mongols, the Tartar, I spelled it wrong, Tartar invasion? They come up with this wild scheme to blame the Jews for the Mongols beating them in war. And so then they went and raped and killed all the Jews in their towns and villages. They could have armed them. The Jews would have fought alongside of them and so forth. Instead, they just blamed the Jews and tried to kill them all. You can read the history of European economic depressions. The most famous and obvious one was the one that took place at Versailles because of the Versailles Treaty, where the Allies gave Germany no chance for any kind of economy. And so, rightly so, they were upset about that. But who did they blame? Did they blame the French? Did they blame the Americans? Did they blame the people who actually caused the Treaty of Versailles to even exist? No, they blamed who? The Jews. It's just... And it's a great, I mean, I'm not for taxation, but hey, if you want to make money, don't kill the Jews, tax them. They don't want to make all the money. Tax those Rothschilds. Instead, they kill them. And you can read about the history of the intercontinental European wars, and you'll find they're always blaming the Jews. It's always the Jews' fault. Even though you can see through the study of history how that happened, and it was, you know, international politic. I mean, it was just normal. But then they always have to have somebody to blame, and it's always the Jews. If that's not proof of the devil and his existence. Verse 9 through 11, they blaming the Jews, accused the Jews. Now verse 9 says, they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Have you noticed these people are always kiss-ups? Verse 10, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. Verse 11, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Okay, we got that settled. Yeah, that's what I said. Verse 12, there are certain Jews. King Nebuchadnezzar, have you read the protocols of the learned elders of Zion? Have you read that yet? That's what, in modern terms, that's what they're doing. Trying to set the Jews up with the king to make him think they're to blame for all the disunity and the issues and the problems of this country. Do you know how you're always hearing about how our country is so divided and there's all these issues? And you won't hear this on the mainstream news, but you know there are huge numbers of people who belong to groups out there, and they're telling you it's the Jews. It's Israel. It's Messiah. It's the policies of Israel. And we'd have peace in the Middle East if it wasn't for Israel. Ignoring the fact that since Muhammad first killed somebody and first raped somebody, and from that point on, the Muslims have been killing each other. It's been going on, about 1,400 years now. And there wasn't any Jews. I mean, there was only a tiny remnant of unknown Jews in Palestine. There was no nation of Israel for 1,400 years, and they were always killing each other. There was no peace in the Middle East before Israel existed. But now they want you to forget all that history and just blame the Jews. That's what you're seeing right here. It's the same thing. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. They control the banks. They control the media. They're controlling our government leaders. That's what they're saying right here. Nothing new under the sun. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Kissinger. Rahm Emanuel. Jared Kushner is his name. You know, they said, I don't know enough of the names of these guys, but some of these people, they would rattle off all these names of Jews in government, and they'll blame them for every problem we have. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And you know what's amazing? What the anti-Israel, anti-Jew crowd will always come to me and say, how can you be supporting the nation of Israel? They reject Jesus, and they're a bunch of unbelievers. You know what my response is? The Bible's a good book. You ought to read it. The Bible said that's what they'd be doing about this time. The Bible said they'd be back in the land in unbelief, and they'll stay in unbelief right to the very end of the 70th week of Daniel. And when Jesus returns, they don't start singing, celebrate good times. Come on! You know, that's not what they're going to be doing. Amen. Says they will mourn as one mourneth for an only son. Why? Because they've been in unbelief right up to that moment. Anybody comes to you and says, we can't support Israel. In that country, they're a bunch of unbelievers. They reject Jesus. You're looking and listening to a complete ignoramus. Amen. Who don't know their Bible any better than they probably know trigonometry.
Johnny's like, I could tell you a few things about trigonometry, but
wait for Q&A. There you have it. Satan's people have always used law to persecute God's children. You know why they're going to throw you in prison? It's not going to be for being a Christian. It's not even going to be for preaching the gospel. It'll be for committing hate crimes. If the Lord tarries, most of you, and I'm talking about anybody listening to this, most of you, if you go to jail, we can make a list of all of you who end up in jail before this is over with, and it'll be because you committed a hate crime. Why? Right now in Canada, they passed a law that all you have to do is call somebody by the wrong gender pronoun and you can go to jail. Some dude with a penis calls himself a woman and you refuse to call him she, you're guilty of a hate crime. You'll go to jail in Canada. Yeah, the gender fluidity thing, you're really at a loss. But that's what they've always done. If you go back, and I've mentioned this before, but for the sake of those who may not remember me saying this or weren't here, go back and study early church history. They didn't kill a lot of the Christians for being Christians. They killed them for being atheists. So why is that? Because they refused to worship the gods. Atheists. They were against the gods. They worshiped them for incest. Why? Because Charlie's getting ready to commit it. He gets married in September. He's marrying his sister.
Well, Charlie.
And that's how they would work it. It's his sister in Christ. For those of you who don't know who Charlie is, he's marrying his sister in Christ, which is the only person he should be marrying.
Amen?
Amen? And they would twist and turn that and get you for marrying your sister. Incest. And on it goes. They accused them of cannibalism, and actually with that, and they didn't really need evidence, so they just accuse you of this. Why? Because you were eating the body and blood of Jesus. So you're a cannibal. And it'll be a different in specifics, but it'll be the same dishonest, satanic lies that'll be used to take you down. And folks, I've told this, we can talk, I won't go into detail, but I have been kicked out of one denomination and removed by the denomination from a local church. Told Jill and a few other people some of this past week what happened. Totally just making stuff up, but also accusing me of things I admitted, because it's true. I was preaching eternal security. I was preaching the King James Bible as the Word of God. I was preaching the pre-trib rapture and the millennium. And those ignoramuses had never heard Bible truth before, the ones that are accusing me. And they all found it to be strange and peculiar things I was teaching. What's sad is the leaders of the denomination found it just as strange. Except for the one who I knew believed exactly what I did, and he didn't care. He went right along with the banana trial. What do they call that?
Monkey trial.
Kangaroo court.
Kangaroo trial.
Kangaroo trial, yeah. And that's the way it's going. So aggravating when you know what they're accusing you of is either a lie or it's true. And it's not wrong. That's what's coming. No, I left voluntarily. Yeah, I left the Southern Baptist. I left on basically good terms, actually. But it was the Free Will Baptist denomination that kicked me out. Some of you watching that might go to their churches, and there are some good Free Will Baptists. And I'm not lambasting at all, but your denomination is pathetic. Your leadership, the National Convention, and all those. We're Baptists. We're not supposed to have denominations. We're Baptists. We're not supposed to have conventions. We have local church autonomy. Independent, local, autonomous churches. Anyway, that's the kind of thing's going to happen. Let's wrap this up in a few verses here. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, that's what I faced, what you're going to face if you live long enough, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. You know, the religious crowd is an angry crowd. I mean, some of these guys I've had to face off with, they're pointing at me and they're spitting and turn red in the face. I just look at them and say, man, you got a devil in you. And then they're like, their head just explodes. Like something out of a cartoon. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? Look, What did I just say? It's true. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Guilty as charged, amen? Now remember, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges God as God of gods. But he hasn't come to understand that he is the only true God. Now I know some of you may sit back there, well, I don't agree with you, preacher. I don't think he could be saved. Man, just talk to a missionary to India. Just talk to a missionary to India. That'll cure your concept of the fact that people can be saved. And if they're saved, they never have a problem with this stuff. Most Indians, when they first get saved, you know what they do with Jesus? They receive Jesus as the personal Savior, and he goes right in on the shelf with the rest of their gods. And the missionaries spend weeks, months, and even years trying to teach them the truth about these other gods. And to get them to get rid of all that stuff. Because they'll even get rid of images, but they still have other things they do when they're alone in their homes and all that. And so that's what you're witnessing here. Verse 15, now, he's like, okay, this is just a big misunderstanding. Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? See, he's not making a reference to the God of the Bible and saying God couldn't do it. But he's thinking that they think in his terms, like they've got just as many gods as he does. And he in his mind, he's just thinking they just won't worship my gods. And it ticks me off. What God's going to save you if I throw you in there? He's going to find out. Verse 16. I want you to read that with me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, what they're basically saying is, my God wouldn't discriminate. Can't we just all get along? You're being divisive. And they'll tell you this, you're going to answer to God because you're the one that's a troublemaker. They'll do that to you. That's what they're going to, when you face off with these people, that's what they'll do. And verse 16, in other words, we don't have to deliberate or come up with an answer, Nebuchadnezzar. We don't even have to think about it. That's why it means we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Verse 17, read that. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Read verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That is back to our question. I mean, could you, in the face of this threat, say, you know what? I believe in God. I believe He can deliver me, but if He doesn't, I'm still not going to bow. I mean, what if you face prison and said, I believe God can deliver me from this, but if not, and I have to sit in prison, I'll do it. That's just food for thought tonight. Something for you to think about. We're going to wrap it up right here. But sadly, most professing Christians cave without even having their life threatened. These days, they cave for much, much smaller things. Don't even have to be. And that confession they made is a mature, spirit-filled believer.